Today's reading is taken from Psalm 75. If you have a Bible, please follow along wherever you are. Psalm 75. We praise you, God. We praise you, for your name is near. People tell of your wonderful deeds. You say, I choose the appointed time. It is I who judge with equity. When the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. To the arrogant I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak so defiantly. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another. In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs. As for me, I will declare this forever. I'll sing praise to the God of Jacob. He says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Zoe, for reading that for us. Brilliantly read. Please keep the passage open in front of you. We're going to be looking at that together, and so it'd be really helpful to have it open. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Please help us now. Would you be our teacher? Help us to learn from this psalm, and please would it change us. Amen. Well, Psalm 75 begins with thanksgiving. Verse 1, we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. It begins with the whole of God's people thanking God. Now, that's a good place to start, isn't it? It's always good to be thanking God for things. We have so much to be grateful for. Even in a time of lockdown, we've got lots to thank God for. And therefore, I want to encourage you today, maybe at meal times, to have a time of thanking God. Just thanking God for a whole load of things that he has done for you. It's a good thing to do. But I reckon if you have that time of thanksgiving at your meal time, you're not going to pick on the thing that the psalmist thanks God for. What is it that gets him excited? In fact, by the end of the psalm, he's saying, verse 9, as for me, I will declare this forever. I will sing praise to the God of Jacob. He is overflowing with excitement about God. He is thanking God. He is praising God. Why? Well, he says in verse 1, men will tell of your wonderful deeds. But which deeds is he thanking God for? Verse 2, you say, I choose the appointed time, it is I who judge uprightly. The thing that's getting the psalmist excited is the fact that God is judge. Did you have that on your list? Would you have that on your list? It's unlikely, isn't it? But that's what gets him excited. And if we're going to join in singing in the choir for this psalm, as it were, or praying this psalm, then we need to understand why God's judgment should be something that should get us excited as well. Now, we need to remember the context of this psalm. Psalm 75, unsurprisingly, comes after Psalm 74, which we looked at last week. Now, Psalm 74 was written in the context of the exile. That is, when God's people were taken out of Israel, when the temple was burnt to the ground. And God's people were in a terrible state. And in the psalm, in Psalm 74, the psalmist cries out to God, saying, God, why don't you do something? Why aren't you active? Why do you just have your hands in the folds of your garments? In other words, they're in your pockets. Just take them out of me. But will you just do something? And at the end of the psalm, he's saying, rise up, God. Well, Psalm 75 contains God's response. We don't know that it was necessarily written after Psalm 74, but certainly as these psalms were compiled, as they were put together, Psalm 75 was put there, and it looks like it's a response to Psalm 74. God, why won't you rise up? Here's the answer. God is saying, I am the judge, and I have chosen my appointed time. Now that gets the psalmist excited, gets him praising God. Now for us to understand why God's judgment is such a good thing and should get us excited as well, we're going to think about God's judgment in two parts. And we're going to use verse 7 as being the structure for the psalm. So see verse 7. It says, "But it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another." And that's what we're going to think about. In God's judgment, he brings down and he exalts. That's going to be the two parts to this sermon. So the first thing that we need to see that should excite us about God's judgment is that God brings down. But who does he bring down? Well, we see this in the psalm. Verse 4, it says, "To the arrogant, I say, boast no more. And to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. Do not lift up your horns against heaven. Do not speak with outstretched neck." Well, some of those images are ones that we're maybe not used to. It says, don't raise up your horn. Now, the horn is a symbol of power and of status. You could imagine a bull with its horns, or a rhino with horns. And if they lift up their horns, they are being proud and they are showing off their strength and their might and their status. They may be the alpha male, and that's kind of what they're showing off. And so for a person to raise their horns is to be arrogant. It is to be like the boxer Muhammad Ali saying, "I am the greatest," or the cricketer Chris Gayle being called the universe boss, or Mourinho being called the special one. It is us puffing up our chests and saying, "I am the best, I'm the greatest." That is to raise your horn. It's like in the song Hall of Fame. The words go like this: "You could be the greatest, you could be the best, you could be the King Kong banging on your chest. You could beat the world, you could beat the war, you could talk to God, go banging on his door." You see, that is raising your horn. And that is saying, "I could even confront God. I could even bang on the door of heaven to confront God." It is actually encouraging us to do verse 5. It's saying, "Do not lift up your horns against heaven." And that is what that is doing. And God brings down the arrogant. Verse 6, "No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt a man, but it is God who judges. He brings one down, he exalts another." And verse 10, "I will cut off the horns of all the wicked." God is saying, those who exalt themselves, those who lift up their horns against heaven, he will bring down. And what we see is that that is what God does throughout the Bible. Throughout the Bible, God brings down the arrogant. I want to take you to a particular time in the Bible where God does this. It's a wonderful story, and it's actually about the king of Babylon. Now, Babylon, if you remember, was the nation who came and invaded Israel and took them into captivity and destroyed the temple. And so this psalm is sort of demonstrated even in the life of the king of Babylon. Who was that king? Well, the king in mind is the one in Daniel chapter 4, and it's a wonderful chapter to read. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. And you can imagine him, one day he was on the roof of his palace and he was looking out over his palace. And he was looking out over his capital city and over his kingdom. And this is what it says that Nebuchadnezzar said. He said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Do you see? That is raising your own horn. That is saying, "I am mighty, I am powerful, look what I have done. And as the words are on his lips, a voice comes from heaven. God speaks to him and says, "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whoever he wishes." Nebuchadnezzar, your arrogance is stinking. It is horrible. And you are going to be brought low. You're going to have to go out and live amongst the animals. And that is what happens. It seems Nebuchadnezzar went mad and he was driven away from people. And he lived with the wild animals, and he was so living rough that his hair was even starting to grow like feathers, and his fingernails became like claws, it says. Do you see? God brings down the arrogant. And people need to hear this. All those who would oppress others, rulers, those who would oppress the weak and the vulnerable, those who would abuse others, they need to hear that God brings down the arrogant. And that is really good news. It is great news that God brings down the arrogant. But it is also a warning for us, isn't it? Because we too like to stand on the roof of our palace. Maybe not the roof of your house. That may not be a wise move to do. But we like to stand on the roof of the palace of our lives and look at what we have done, don't we? And I wonder, what's the thing that makes you feel most proud about your life? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your friendships. Maybe it's your home. Maybe it's your athleticism. I mean, it could be a whole load of things that you might look at in your life and think, "I did that." And what we want by the end of our lives is to be able to look back over our lives and to be able to say, "This is what I did." And it's interesting how many people, for their funeral, choose the song "My Way" by Frank Sinatra. Now, lots choose it because they like Frank Sinatra, but actually, it contains a message which is, well, kind of raising your horn against heaven. It's saying, "I did my life and I did it my way." But the reality is that actually we're no different from Nebuchadnezzar. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And don't you hate it when people take credit for what you've done? It's a horrible thing. If you had that at school or in a meeting or something like that, you've come up with an idea previously, and then in that meeting, someone else comes out with your idea. Don't you hate it? It drives you mad, because even if you were to say, "No, hang on, that was my idea," you sound really weak and pathetic. And if you let it go, well, the other person gets all the credit. It just feels unjust. It's unfair. God hates it too, when people take the credit for what he has given them. And what was he saying to Nebuchadnezzar? "I've given you your kingdom, not you. You've not done it for yourself. I've given it to you." And as we look at our lives, what we need to recognize is every bit of our lives comes from God. God brings down the arrogant. Now, we need to hear that. Because actually what it says in verse 8 is that God has a cup ready. Verse 8, "In the hand of the Lord is a cup full of foaming wine mixed with spices. He pours it out, and all the wicked of the earth drink it down to its very dregs." God is saying judgment is ready. It is ready to be poured out, and he has chosen the time when it will happen. So yes, all the oppressors, all the rulers, all the abusers of the world need to hear this, because judgment is coming. But actually we need to hear this too, because there's arrogance in our hearts. But the great news is, God's judgment is not just about bringing down the arrogant. It is also about exalting. And so we come to our second point. So the other thing that we need to see is that not only does God bring down, but God also exalts. But who does God exalt? Who does he raise up? We see that at the end of the psalm. Most of the psalm is about God judging by bringing down. But at the end of verse 10, it tells us who God raises up. It says, I will cut off the horns of all the wicked, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. So who is it God exalts? It's the righteous. But who are the righteous? Well, I wonder who you think of when you think of righteous people. You probably think of people who do a lot of good, do a lot of good things. Maybe they work for charities, maybe they give a lot away. They tend to be very good people. But maybe we slip into there a bit of a thinking about self-righteousness. And therefore we think they're going to be people who are very good but know they're good and maybe look down on others. But of course, that can't really be righteousness, because we've already seen that God brings down the arrogant. And what we've just described is someone who is arrogant. So righteousness can't be that. So what is righteousness? What's the kind of person God lifts up? Well, we get a clue about this from how the story of Nebuchadnezzar carries on. You see, in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't stay living with the wild animals. It says in verse 34, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And so on. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Well, he humbled himself before God. He said, God, I recognize you're the king. You're sovereign over all kingdoms. And all I have has come from you. And then he is exalted again. He is lifted back to his royal position. In fact, it says he was restored to his throne and became even greater than before. God exalted him. He humbled himself and God exalted him. And that's the clue that we need. You see, for people to become righteous, what we need is not to point to the good things about us, but to be humble before God. You see, righteousness is not something we can achieve. It's actually something humbly we need to come before God to ask him to give us. In the New Testament, in Romans, Paul talks about righteousness. And he talks about a righteousness and he says how to get it. And this is what he says. He says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, do you notice where he says that righteousness comes from? He says, this righteousness from God. Righteousness must come from God, not from me. I can't make my own righteousness. I need God to give it to me. I can't achieve it. I've just got to receive it. And we get it through faith in Jesus, it says, through trusting in Jesus, and particularly through trusting in Jesus' death. See, do you remember in Psalm 75, we saw that it says God has a cup of wine ready for the wicked. It is a cup of judgment. And we've already seen, actually, we deserve that for our arrogance. But Jesus, when he died, took that cup for us. Before he died, when he was praying to his father in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, take this cup from me. Well, what is that cup? It's this cup. It's the cup of God's judgment. Jesus was saying, I don't want to have to go through it. But he does say, yet not my will, but yours be done. And so when he died on the cross, he was drinking that cup of judgment for you and me. He achieved righteousness by doing that. Achieved a righteousness he could give to you and me. So how do we become righteous? It is by humbling ourselves before God, saying, God, I recognize all I have comes from you, that you are the King. Please give me righteousness. It is to be poor in spirit. As Chris talked about earlier from the Beatitudes, it is to recognize I am poor. And Jesus, I need your righteousness. Would you give it to me? And if we do that, God exalts us. He lifts us up. He puts us in a position that even Nebuchadnezzar couldn't dream of. He makes us his children. He seats us with Christ in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, it says in Ephesians. In other words, we're given a position of great honor. Why? Not because we deserve it, but because he gives us righteousness. And so, we see in the Bible, this is the way God consistently does things. He exalts, he lifts up those who are humbled before him. He did it with Joseph in the book of Genesis, taking him from being a convict in prison to being prime minister of Egypt. He took David from being a shepherd to being king of Israel. He took Mary, a nobody from Nazareth, and made her the mother of God's son. He lifts up the humble. He exalts the righteous, those he gives righteousness to. And so the question is, will you humble yourself before God? If you're not yet a Christian, would you come to God? Humble yourself before him, recognize all you have is from him, and ask God for forgiveness and ask God to give you righteousness. And if you do, he will exalt you. Life will still be tricky, there'll still be difficulties, but you'll be a child of God. And if you're a Christian, will you join with the psalmist in praising God that he is the judge, that he brings down the arrogant, but that he exalts the righteous, those who humble themselves before him? Will you praise God like the psalmist does?